I'm very happy now to welcome artist and sculptor Scott Moore. He will be talking about the Beautiful Midden Project at 5:30 on Tuesday, September 17th at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. It's part of the Water Matters Lecture Series sponsored by Amigos Bravos. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.
So the Beautiful Midden Project, we'll have to talk about what midden means, is an art project out of Taos, Taos County. What's it all about?
Well, the Beautiful Midden Project was a group of individuals who got together responding to a call from Amigos Bravos in conjunction with the Isaiah Fest that just happened this past year.
And Isaiah being this big technological art conference that happened in Albuquerque this
year.
That's right.
And there were different projects happening in the Taos area, and Brian used the conference to introduce this idea about an arts-based reclamation project that was focusing on right outside of Taos, an area that has been traditionally used for dumping and a lot of ammunition discharge. And there's a lot of degradation that has happened over the generations in this one particular spot.
So and when you say generations, I mean there's generations of dumping and shooting going on here.
Oh, yeah. There's automobiles in, the gorge that looks like it's Bonnie and Clyde's getaway car.
Right.
You know, it's been going in there for a while. And what we did was form a team that all had different strengths and relationships to the community that thought we'd take a look at this and maybe offer a proposal that might approach the situation there in a bit of a non-conventional way. And work as coyotes, sort of quietly and on the periphery. And we adopted the idea of a midden, which is an archaeological term that just refers to a trash heap. And in traditional archaeological studies, they found you learn a lot about a culture through what you find in those trash heaps.
Right.
So a very valuable resource. And we chose to kind of use that kind of distancing to begin an artistic inquiry into the situation there. And slowly but surely, we realized that to have that kind of distance in approaching something right in your backyard was very helpful, because not only are you witnessing a fair amount of degradation and poisoning of the environment that ends up in the waterways, particularly the Rio Pueblo de Taos, that has a confluence with the Rio Grande just a mile away, but it just visually offers some intriguing bits of artifacts and more durable items that still remain there, but it also includes recent and more contemporary trash, household trash, which I think carries a lot more potential for releasing toxic substances, and I mean especially when it's straight up antifreeze or paints or there's quite a variety of just solvents that are very dangerous over time. So there's an accumulation there that we witnessed and decided to step back, and as artists we felt that an approach that was effervescent, kind of trying to balance out the general darkness that we saw, and knowing that it's a bit of a tradition and somehow also an entitlement for some people there.
Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, when there's generations of trash dumping, even when there are dumps and garbage pickup and so on, what's happening there?
Well, what we realized through doing interviews with people in the community is that even though there are resources and generally most people would find affordable, for one reason or another, there are people that really can't put that together or make it happen financially or find transportation that can get to the dump on certain days. So that's one part of it. Another thing, a lot of the trash was larger appliances, refrigerators, stoves. There, in Taos County, there is no curbside pickup or any kind of policy right now that would help ease that need for people, to get rid of things. There aren't really services that take care of that. So that was at one level. We realized that there's a bit of people being disenfranchised from the system or financially, that they felt here's an old tradition.
It's easier to go dump it in the arroyo than to find a truck and pay money and go to the dump.
Yes, and it's also probably much more thrilling to watch your trash tumble down hundreds of feet and explode. And these are all kind of things we've observed. And growing up in Ohio, there were certain practices that were similar. So in a way, I can relate to that need. But at some point, these places fill up, and it becomes rather impractical to take a walk, to bring your children. And this is an area that is used a lot by hikers, fishermen, horseback riders. And so we put our ideas together and thought that we would create a gesture that would start a dialogue.
Now, part of the problem is that not only is it spread by water, all the toxicity that you're talking about, but it's also spread by animals, both river creatures and terrestrial creatures who are frequenting that area. And I never really had thought that much about this, but when you discharge a lot of firearms, when you shoot a lot of bullets into things, there's a huge amount of lead in the environment, and that toxicity can spread far and wide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can. And that's another part of kind of the toxic overload of this one particular spot, was the tradition of a shooting spot. And I've met quite a few people in Taos that have been going out there to shoot for 40, 50 years. And most of the ammunition that is discharged there is lead-based ammunition, and a lot of it at the shooting spot, it kind of just the trajectory carries it right into the Real Pueblo de Taos Gorge. And so doing this research and trying to think about how it relates to the wildlife there and the general well-being, we found that many states have already outlawed lead-based ammunition, specifically for these areas. Massachusetts was one of the first states. Even Texas at the moment has that on the block, to just because of the general toxicity that ends up and slowly disseminates into the waterways and into the if a bird would eat one piece of buckshot, it's pretty much a goner. And it's not a pleasant idea to think about, the suffering that, and then if something else eats that bird that has fallen out, then
it goes on.
The toxins are disseminated through the food chain in that manner. So these both of these components of the trash dumping and ammunition being discharged here are pretty much what we've focused our concerns on.
We'll get back to the art piece in a moment. We're talking to artist Scott Moore about the beautiful Midden Project. But one thing that I think is really interesting and practical that you and Amigos Bravos have put out is some really practical ideas for how to solve some of these problems, like a shooting range, curbside pickup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem that there could be some policy changes in Taos. As the project has evolved over the last 2 years, we're at a point now where we're moving into a media campaign, and working with the local newspapers and radio stations to produce some spots that might illuminate some of the issues here and suggest some simple solutions, while also continuing a community dialogue, there might be some other ideas. I mean, at the moment, it's sort of a traditional idea that if you get caught, you get fined, and, you know, it...
And it, life goes on, you just keep doing it.
It goes on. And but I think that at the core of the project is an empowerment. It's an empowerment project. And I think that we started off with a very specific spot with very specific problems, and trying to use this as our place to kind of radiate this idea of empowerment instead of being motivated by authority or punishment or something. There's some real pragmatic ideas, like lead into the environment. All the YouTube videos I watched about shooting and gun enthusiasts, there's nothing there that people are thinking, I'm just blasting an immense amount of toxins into my children's backyard that, you know, through the course of time, that's picked up and can very easily move through skin, and it's kind of there for a long time. So a simple ideas and points of awareness might help, and especially through the children. We're hoping to work a little more with some of the schools, the local schools in Taos. A few of them have been very supportive and allowed their students to engage. And for the most part, when you suggest something like, blasting lead into the ground is not a good idea because it's a poison. And it's not considered. I don't think generally it's considered across the board in, the American gun culture. But certain states, like I say, have already made moves, and with a little coaxing and the ability to use the airwaves, and perhaps a subtle little tap on the shoulder, or to spread this like a laugh. I mean, a laugh is contagious. So if you can kind of present something without wagging your finger,
right?
It's very important with this project to kind of. We initially worked as reporters, and now we're trying to bring what we've observed to the community.
So one of the things you did was you made a can phone. Is that like when you were in, first grade, two Dixie cups with a string in between?
Sure.
Is that what
exactly.
It is?
Exactly. It's a little exaggerated version of that. And, I have to thank my young boy, Rafa, for saying, yeah, just make it bigger. And as we were thinking about how to start a dialogue, we thought that maybe this is a little oblique, but it is an instrument of communication. And
a literal dialogue across across an arroyo.
Across the arroyo. And we kind of focused the line directly over a very large midden cluster of automobiles and appliances. And we thought that by bringing people down to check out this object, they would then also be able to look, and the pieces of the puzzle we were hoping to lay out there would eventually start to come together in the minds of the community. The can phone spanned about 175 feet. We just used regular old tomato juice cans and Mason's line that we got from the hardware store, and
built these posts set in concrete, so that they're stable.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this string going across the arroyo. What happens when the wind blows?
Well, that was a happy coincidence that when we did connect the two cans, it was during the spring winds, and the vibration on the string started to resonate through the diaphragm, which was the end of the can, and started to sing a sound of nature. It was singing the weight of the wind, and had really glorious and beautiful overtones, and would pulse and sway and pause. And so it not only became sort of a device, a sculptural device that provoke some interest and curiosity about what might be happening here. We were able to give voice to one of the elements at this site, which, ultimately we want to give voice to the rocks and the animals that are suffering from you know, what's happening there. And so it sang for a good number of months there, and really did begin a dialogue by one way or another to raise enough curiosity within the community. Not always initially favorable, but it led me to speak with biologists from the BLM who had their concerns about endangerment, other wildlife enthusiasts who thought that the sound itself might be interfering. So there were all these issues that came up, and we had to seriously consider all of these, because it certainly, you know, out of some this gesture, we were sort of shooting from the hip, so to speak.
Did you have kids on each end of the can talking into it and listening to each other?
Yes. Once we got it hooked up, of course, I brought my family in. There were other groups of kids that came, and a lot of adults who really wanted to check it out. When the wind was blowing, it was hard to communicate, but there were moments when it was not blowing so hard, and you could have a communication through there. A funny little side part of this whole endeavor was the interest in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's longest can phone, which for a moment it looked like it might be a good thing to bring to the site. But at the moment, the BLM has started to purchase the land that we have been trying to bring interest to. And I think at this point, it's more effective to focus on policy change and some of the root causes.
Now, who owns the land at this moment?
Well, the BLM has recently purchased the south part of the property up to the center of the large arroyo from a bank that purchased it at an auction after an owner foreclosed. It was initially bought for development from a man from out of town who had dreams of building homes up to the edge. And we did have a dialogue with him early on, but his land went into foreclosure the next week, and we just moved on with our project.
So does the BLM have plans to clean it up and enforce non-dumping and things like that?
Yeah, they do. And I've been speaking with some of the people there that are in charge of the upcoming development. And of course, it's not part of, but very near the new national monument that was just declared,
right,
from the Colorado border down. Eventually, we were going to look to them to help with a cleanup. I mean, there's, by our count, 17, possibly 18 automobiles and dozens of large appliances. And to what extent it will be completely cleaned up, we're not sure. But one encouraging talk that I had with some of the people at the BLM were to consider some of the artifacts, some of the cars that have been changed. By artists. Kind of created a new context for art at the space, and are being considered on the same level as the petroglyphs there that were also, you know, inscribed and had an intention and, you know, maybe some motivations we don't understand these days. But it was encouraging to know that the art that has been done there and is a little more durable will be considered as something to preserve.
Presumably the non-toxic pieces of it.
Yes. I'm thinking mostly there's a large purple station wagon.
Yeah, that's become sort of iconic of this project, the big purple station wagon, which is all shot up and has peace signs on it and things like that.
Yes, it's been down there for quite a while. And another group of art and activists, people who are working in Taos, the Promo Hobo Free Heart, were responsible for a lot of that alterations, and they actually created a whole film of a journey in that car using green screens and whatnot. So right now in Taos, it seems in some way that there's a few groups and people who are restless with conventions there that might redefine some ideas, not only about what art is in Taos, which in some ways is still quite provincial, but just to help spread the word about how empowering direct action and through a creative and playful process, how much effect that can have on your community and the future for the children that are growing up here.
I think it's a great example of how art can really be used to address social issues, to open up dialogue, and as you say, to shift the dialogue away from a finger-wagging kind of earnestness to a more kind of playful and different kind of conversation.
Yes, well, it's I personally, as an artist, I feel it's really essential that our spirits remain high and we can find playful childlike roots and use that play and dreams and other unconventional ideas to evoke change within our community. And I look around, I read, I just see such degradation and strife and probably at a level that with the extent of the communication and flow of data, it's hard not to know that your backyard is being polluted. The ocean is now filling up with radioactive material, and although we might not be having it in the front of our thoughts all the time, I think there's an insistence and an unrelenting aspect of this degradation that is potentially going to have an effect on our ability to communicate, to trust, and I think that art still holds a real primal possibility of resurrecting some forgotten and lost senses as humans, our ability to communicate and to understand and not to feel overwhelmed.
We're talking to Scott Moore, sculptor, performer, teacher, activist, and also you have made a little documentary film that you're going to be showing on Tuesday, September 17th at the Community Foundation when you give your lecture there. This is about the Beautiful Midden Project and the Canphone and all of this that we've been talking about.
Right. Yeah, it pretty much chronicles the first year of the project from its inception, and it describes the spot that we, what it was when we first started to spend time there. And so it has some footage of how we approached the Canphone. Another project that we did that last summer was a piece called The Trash Camera Ball, which pretty much consisted of putting a small camcorder in a clear acrylic sphere and tossing it into the arroyo as it was a piece of trash.
And looking at what it sees on the way down.
That's right. We slowed it way down, and there's one chute that gave it a clear shot that there's a lot of trash that came before it. And, you know, once again, it probably produced more of an artful bit of footage, but the more and more I looked at it, I do believe that to try to shift perspectives even slightly, and even if it's pretending you're a piece of trash, it starts to add to the body of knowledge somehow. And the resonating matter of art, you never know really where it's going to go. And as artists, we just have to trust our gestures and our intentions.
Scott Moore will be talking about the Beautiful Midden Project on Tuesday, September 17th at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation on Helena Street here in Santa Fe. It's sponsored by Amigos Bravos. It's part of their Water Matters lecture series. For more information, you can go to amigosbravos.org. And people can also link to your work online. I'll put a link on my website to the Beautiful Midden Project.
Sure, I appreciate that. It's a very modest website that we have right now, but if people would care to follow it over the next few months, kind of keep abreast of our media campaign for policy change in Taos County, and we will be adding our segments onto the website. There's some other ideas. One that we have is a shooting sculpture at the site Pretty much everything that I have described and we've talked about is shot to pieces. Anything more than 6 inches off the ground in this area gets
shot
up. So sometimes it's legitimate target practice. Sometimes it's just the thrill of blasting stuff. And so here we are again. At the moment, the can phone is not functional. It's pretty much splinters. And watching this happen, my thought was, well, there is no shooting range in Taos. There's no real safe place to go and do this except to these traditional places where trash gets blasted into even smaller pieces. So there's a thought about creating a sculpture that is intended to be shot, and it harvests the ammunition. It would collect the ammunition, keeping it from arcing into the waterways and into the ground. And at some point, the general idea was to take baskets, have the children bring in baskets and present these to policymakers, and just to say that there's a real need in the community. The gun culture is far and wide, and everybody knows it, but there's no safe or place that doesn't kind of add to the degradation for people to go out and, you know, shoot their weapons.
Well, we look forward to seeing how all of this comes out, both in terms of policy and in terms of art. It's a very creative ongoing project. Scott Moore, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, thank you.